Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Listener note, if you would like to hear what happened at the beginning of this session and prior to it, if you would like my entire comeback story, 5 years in the making, including 2 deep World Series of Poker main event runs and numerous conversations I've had with poker superstars such as Matt Moore, Garrett Adelstein, Doug Polk, Matt Berkey, and others, head on over to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and sign up to become a patron for $4.22 a month or more. Go ahead and do it right now. It just takes a few moments, and not only do you gain access to about 900 hours of private recordings, including part one of this episode, but you also get membership to DGAF Community, an online community of communal folk. Okay, seriously, just go do that right now. I'll wait for you. I'll take a sip of this Coke Zero while you do it. All right, thanks for signing up. I hope you enjoy both all the content and the community. Poker Session 60 of 150, Hustler Casino Live 5/23/22, Part 2, The Stream, continued. So we left off in Part 1, 90 minutes or so into The Stream on May 23rd. And I just called 2,500 on the river with 10-7, offsuit on 7-6-3, King-Queen with a flush draw breaking out. And it was three ways, and I'd called dark pre-flop, and then I called, you know, completed the action, Hillary on my left raise, and some people called, and I just put in 200 more with 10-7 offsuit. Just gambling, and I trust my ability to play post-flop. I led on 7-6-3, two spades, and Hillary called, and why no poker raised, and I really thought she had a draw, so I called, and Hillary called, and I didn't like that. And then, you know, it came king, and we all checked, and queen, and we checked to wino, and she bet 2,500, and I broke this hand down already in the end of part one. And my best play in part one was some really locked-in shit with pocket sixes. I broke that down as well. Anyways, the last thing you know, need to know before we resume the session review, the stream review, I started on tilt on this day. I lost a bunch on the casino floor. Prior to the stream, in just a short period of time, just ran into it every single time. And I have some people who really haven't earned shit asking for shit from me. And that's why you hear me talk about Mark Goon's friend so much. His name's Peter, by the way. He's always there at the Hustler. He actually has earned shit, and he never asked me for shit. And, you know, he'll just take the bad seat at the table. He'll do whatever it takes to keep the game going. He's the opposite of a nit, and that's why you hear me rave about him so much. But, yeah, I was a little tilted. I had some people trying to maneuver their way into shit, and they haven't earned it. And I was busy and running bad, and, yeah. So I started the stream on tilt and stuck on the day, and, you know, spewing pretty hard in the first 90 minutes. And now we're going to pick up at 204.20. I called dark again. Just called dark plus one. I called dark under the gun here. And this is something I do. I do it in soft games. And it's cocky, but whatever. I'm pretty cocky as a default, unless I'm running bad and then I feel like I can never win. But, you know. I haven't been running that bad, or I've been running good this year. So, I had Jack 5 offsuit, and I just folded after, someone raised, Puyan raised. So, it's just a bad hand, and I would have flopped 2 pair. I almost called. He raised from the small blind, and Chris called on my right. I almost called with Jack 5 offsuit, and I would have flopped 2 pair and won some money, but I just decided, you know, take a hand off and take a sip of my drink. And then after that, I have 7-deuce offsuit, and I call the double straddle. So Hillary's on my left. She put on the 80, and a bunch of people limped in for 80. I put in 40 more. It's just 40 more bucks. You're getting a lot of pot odds, and you know, you can make the best hand with 7-deuce, and you can win without the best hand. I've been winning without the best hand my whole career. And she popped it. Hillary is a real one. She's going to be a big part of the show. And she's a lot of action. And the next hand of note, 210-01 is a bomb pot. I have pocket eights. And so what was happening is Chris on my right was betting $20 into bomb pots. And we each put in 100. So there's 900 in there. And then we pay for time and tip for the dealer. So I think they take about 240 out of there. So there's about 660 in there. And he bets 20, and I just called the 20 with 2 8s, and Hillary raised, and we all folded it. She had 10-7 offsuit. She's a very real one. And so there's a player called Coinflex Man in the 9 seat, and you can hear him here. At this point, I start calling him Cornflakes just because I've been drinking, and it just seems like the thing to do. At 2:15:00, Chris on my right, this is a really nice guy who proved himself on the casino floor and got a seat on stage, and he plays with Mariano all the time. He opens the cutoff, and I 3-bet the button with King 8 offsuit. That's called Kate, King 8. And Ronnie is singing some song to someone at this point, and Chris defends, and it comes 9-5-4, and I just put a small C-bet out there with my King 8. Chris calls, and the board doesn't do anything. I don't improve, or an ace never comes. A good bluffing opportunity doesn't show up, so I just check down, and he has 9-6 suited. So he called me. He opened and called the 3-bet with 9-6 and flopped really good, and he won, and that's fine. He ran bad overall, but not in that hand. 2:24:25 is a real hand, Queen 10 suited. And I open it, and Poo Daddy defends. And Poo Daddy is a chat pro, someone who spent a lot of time in the chat being supportive and just, you know, adding to the show and is funny. And he wanted to play, and Ryan gave him a shot, and he defends. And he's the second most action player at the table, as far as I can tell. And I have queen 10 of clubs, comes ace, queen 6. He checks, I check back. Turns a 6, he checks, check back. The river is it an ace? Yeah, the river's an ace, I think. And he bets 200, and I just call. There's nothing to do here. I don't know him well enough to go for a hero fold, and he had an ace. He had ace deuce or something. So, yeah, just a nothing hand, but a good starting hand, queen 10 of clubs. At this point, I'm up $740, and I made a couple good plays, both multi-way, and neither time did I have the best hand. So that's manufacturing, and I think that feels best as a poker player when you're up 740, and with your distribution, probably no one else at the table would be up. Well, they just wouldn't be, because they're not going for it and soul reading. And yeah, I'm spewing, but I'm also making some good decisions in big spots, and that's what's going on in the story on this day. 2:26:35, I call dark again under the gun. I have queen 10 offsuit, comes 9-9-7. I lead 70 into 220 just because I have the best range for this, right? I call dark, and Poo Young calls, Poo Daddy, and the turn's a 7, and this is definitely a card you don't want to be bluffing, and you just want to check here, and then the river is a brick, and we check it down. And this is good on my behalf, because a lot of times when you bet on 9-9-7, you bet about a third pot, and you get called. Someone will call you with a smaller pocket pair, and then that 7 means you get to win with your queen high. He just happened to call me with ace high. No big deal. He wins that one. It's time for worst play number 1. So I guess I had multiple worst plays. I've said since I started... Since I started playing on stream, well, no, that's not true. Since I started selling some of my action to the chat pros, I want to play my B-minus game. I don't believe in playing your A-plus game. I'll play that in the main event. That's it. It's the only time I'll play my A-plus game if I can. Like if I, you know, can pull it off with mindset and whatnot. But I don't believe it's... Live poker is just not meant for A-plus game. It's just... It's bad for the game and... especially playing on stream. I just am never going to do it live in cash. So But I do want to play a winning style, and I think B minus is good, both good for the game, give action. I can still win. And but I also want to make some bad plays, and here's a pretty bad one. At 228.33, Ronnie is rapping, and that's fine. It's part of the show. It is distracting sometimes, and I defend with 7-5 offsuit against Pooh Daddy, and I want to get him. He's been holding over me. He's a chat pro. I love the fucking chat pros. I want to sting him a little bit because I love him. And I defend with 7-5 offsuit. I'm going to defend. He opens. He's been opening 5X all night. Whatever. We're deep. I call a 7-5 offsuit. It comes ace, 10, 8, 2 diamonds. I check. He bets 220, and I call. Why? The majority of players will check back an ace here, and he just bets it. And so I got fooled by that a little bit, and I'm just going to float out of position and reevaluate the turn. And the turn's a 3 for ace, 10, 8, 2 diamonds, and an offsuit 3. I check, and he bets 700, and now I really just think he has an ace and an ace only. And I decide to go to 1,700, which is not a very big raise at all. But for anyone who's been playing live poker for any amount of time, it's scary as shit when you go ahead and bet your top pair a second time and it gets raised 1,000 more from 717. You will see a lot of people fold one pair here. He didn't. He called. I gave up. He had ace nine offsuit. So he played it old school and strong and good for him. And I was tilting at this moment. Sometimes tilt leads to good things. Sometimes it doesn't. It's just, you just never know. At 231.41, Masato Yokosawa opens to 120. And this is the number one poker vlogger in the world. I thought Brad Owen was, but it turns out this young dude from Japan is. And I thought I would hate him, not because he's a vlogger. I love vloggers, but because he's a tournament player. And I thought he was going to play super slow and what have you. And it turns out I love the guy right away. We're drinking together, and we ended up drinking all night. You'll hear about that. And I got him to come back the following Monday because he really liked playing the game. And, well, you'll hear more about that. But he opens to 120. And my man Chris, who plays with Mariano on the right, calls a small blind. And I go to 600 with ace-queen. And Masato calls and Chris folds. It comes ace, king, X, and I just bet about 40% of pot. I think this is fine. I do not believe in checking here. You're just giving little pocket pairs a chance to bink, and he's not going to bluff me here on this. He's definitely not going to bluff on this flop. So I could bet even smaller, but, you know, whatever. I just decided to maybe make it look like a bluff by betting a little bit bigger and maybe get a hero call or a hero bluff, raise, and he just folded pocket threes. But it's nice to make the best hand. At 238.40, he opened, did Masato. Under the gun, Sashimi called, and she ended up being pretty cool too. And she's coming back again. I'm recording these late on the 29th. It's almost the 30th, and I will be back on that stage in what? How many hours? Not that many hours. So anyways, they're both coming back. And he opened at 238.40. She called. I called 10-8 offsuit on the button. Just giving loose action. Button, you know. And Hillary called. Ronnie called. It came ace, jack, six. Two clubs. Hillary led. And you see me giving the waitress $300 and folding my hand. And I think this is the last week where I'll go through every VPIP. Just because I think it's kind of a cool experience for some people who have never played on stream. I had never played on stream until just a couple months ago. And then I think I'll get back to my normal style of really getting into my best play and really getting into my worst play and just kind of telling the story of the session around that. But I'm just telling you all my VPIPs with mostly with timestamps. And so when I give her $300, that's because I was buying the table drinks and I was buying the people on the casino floor drinks as well. And that means it was 6 p.m. because she gets off at 6, and that was my tab. At 240.20, I open ace-king offsuit in the cutoff. Hillary calls. Masato calls. It comes queen 6-5. We all check. The turn's a 6. I bet 140 just for protection, and they fold. And Masato actually had pocket fours, so he could have called here, but bluff catching with under pairs is no fun, and he's a good player. I went and took a piss. At 246.01, I opened ace-king offsuit plus 2. Hillary called, Ronnie called, and Masato squeezed out of position to 820. And his sizing really told me that he had a dominated hand compared to mine. He has ace queen or ace jack, maybe ace 10 suited. I just really thought that, or it could be king queen suited. He really wanted me to fold. And I had ace king. I could 4-bet in position. But I don't need to because I have him in really bad shape and I knew it. And so I just called the 820 and I'm happy to play poker in position against anyone always. And I think I just have him crushed and maybe he'll run a bluff for all his chips or maybe he'll get cooler. Maybe an ace will come and he'll check. And I don't know how he'll have ace queen or ace jack. And now I can start making it look like I'm bluffing with ace king and just go for max value. I have all kinds of plans. The flop comes 10-10 queen. He bets 800 and that's, a little less than half pot. And I call, I have two overs and the gut shot, 10-10 queen. Turns a 10, he checks. There's no point in me betting here. I check back and the river is an 8 and he bets 3,000. And when he does that, I know he has exactly ace queen. And so I got pretty unlucky there. You have ace king in position and he has ace queen out of position. He made 820 and he made a boat. And I fold, and you can hear me telling you got really lucky, man. You were in a lot of trouble, and you got there. And I was right. At the time, I didn't know he had ace queen. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't see it. And then when I later reviewed the stream from my notes, he had ace queen. So unlucky there. At the second check of the boards, right, the cumulative winnings, the VPIP, and I think they do preflop raise every so often. Is that right? Maybe they don't do preflop raise until the end. But at second check, I was down 2190, and my VPIP was 53%. So I was down just about what I lost in that hand against Masato with ace king against ace queen. And my VPIP, I'm playing more hands than I'm folding. And I've said this, that I think in my career, I've VPIPed over 50%. I've played a ton of shorthanded, just a fucking shit ton of shorthanded. That's all I used to play when I had my choice. I would play late at night. That's mostly shorthanded. And if my VPIP, if I got over 50% in a nine-handed game, it's probably like 70% in these shorthanded games. And obviously heads up, it's close to 100%. I've said that and people thought I was crazy, but I really think it's true that I've played more hands than I've folded. And it's cost me a lot, full ring. Obviously, it's a leak, but it doesn't matter. It always comes back to you. Your spew equity comes back to you in different ways. People will give you action shorthanded. They'll give you action bigger, sometimes heads up. And yeah, so at 250-10 is a bomb pot. And everyone throws in 100, and then they take out, I think, 240 for collection and the dealers. And I had queen six offsuit, came 10-9-3. I just folded. And like I said, I'm just running through all my VPIPs. I don't think I'll do it moving forward. I think I'll get way into my best play and worst play and just tell you about the funny shit that happened on stream. I think that's a better format, but I'll actually take some feedback on that. If you want to hear about every VPIP, if it's fun to watch the stream and listen at the same time and click on the, timestamps or whatever it is. I guess there's no timestamps to click on, but, scroll to the timestamps. At 252-27, I opened under the gun, queen 10 offsuit. It's an open in a game like this. It's obviously not open in a tough game. And Ronnie 3-bet me, and I folded. He had king, queen suited. And this guy has held over me. We've only played it maybe 4 times now, and he has held over me every time. I've never had a good situation against him. And I want to. I'm very competitive, and I don't know. It's tilting me. At the table it was. 250-604, Wino opens under the gun. We all call. I have ace 9 of hearts. Comes 9-8-8 with 2 diamonds. I go ahead and lead. I like this a lot. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It protects your equity. It gets value from worse. And hands that are never going to put in a chip unless they improve have to fold. And anyways, Hillary calls and Wino calls. 9-9-8, 2 diamonds. Okay. It turns a 6 and now it's time to pump the brakes. Now there are 2 diamonds and 2 clubs. I check. Hillary bets 400, small bet. Wino calls. I think I have the best hand here. I call. And the river is a jack. And I don't like it because jack 10 is is a hand or queen 10. Both of those hands are hands these women would be playing here. And I don't love it. And I check, and Hillary checks, and Wino bets 1,500, and it's close. I think she might be bluffing. I think there's a good chance Hillary has a jack, because what else does she have? And I just don't know. It's just a really tough spot, because Wino already did bluff off in the same exact spot, and that's when I called 2,500. And I just decided to fold my ace 9, and Hillary called, and she actually had 9-4 offsuit. So I folded the best hand here. I don't do that a lot. Good call by Hillary. Good bluff by Wino. You got me out, and I don't know. It was a tough hand to play, and I didn't execute. I do not give myself. I played it fine, but not great. And I like to play well in the big spots, and that's all I want to do. And I didn't here. It's okay. But it's gonna, you know, you someone hurts you, you hurt someone else. So Hillary and Wino just hurt me here. And then now at 3-0-0-51. Pooh Daddy opens a hijack to 200, and I'm pretty sure he's opening a bunch of hands late, and he doesn't seem that strong, and 200 is his opening size, and on the small blind with queen six of diamonds, and he's deep, he's been running hot, and it's time to see if he wants to play for it, and I make it 1200, and I like this, and he shakes his head and folds, and he's awesome, and I had queen six, so just manufacture maybe, what, it's 10, 20, 40, with a $20 ante. It's, I just manufactured $290 real quick. Yeah. At 302.01, I opened the button with 7-6 of hearts. Wino 3-bets. She 3-bet a ton. I profiled her as a different player than she was. I thought she was just solid and like maybe I could get her to fold. And it was the opposite. She was aggressive and wide open. And anyways, I called with 7-6 of hearts. And it came king 10-3. She checked. I checked back. And in terms of 7, she checked. I went ahead and bet here, 400, just to set up, you know, if I need to bluff the river or if my hand's good right now, just protect my equity. And she folded. She had 8s, so she had a better hand. But that's a really tough spot for her to, you know, call with 8s. And then what? She's going to check the river and she's going to have to fold. So at 303.26, my man Pooh Daddy opened to 200. And I called, and we're just shorthanded, and people are from the table doing whatever. Called with 10-8 offsuit. Sashimi called. She defended a blind. And it came jack-jack-7. I have 10-8. She checked, did sashimi, and Pooh Daddy bet 220. Does not seem like a good hand. And I raised the 700 here on jack-jack-7 with two clubs. I think the majority of the population's folding their entire range here because they're not betting. It's a pretty good exploit spot to raise here. I have 10-8. I have gut shot, and he calls. She folds. He calls, and okay, so now it's time to shut it down or bink. And it comes 5. He checks. I check, and the river's a 4. He checks. I just check, and he had ace 4 offsuit. What a stud! What a fucking real chat pro. And so he had a backdoor nut flush draw, but the board was paired. It was him leading and calling on that flop is dicey, and again, I had no history with him. I was just playing against, you know, just your average player, and they're just they are c-betting ace high on jack-jack-7, and then they're folding to a raise, even against me, especially against me, because I have, you know, everything in my range. And anyways, I had plenty of equity, right? I could have hit an 8, a 9, or a 10, and I just didn't. And I'm tilted a little bit, and I'm not proud of that, by the way. If you didn't know, I'm a grizzled vet. I've been in poker so fucking long that I actually had like a poker career as a grinder until I learned that there was a better way. And that was in 2008 when I learned that shit. So, you know, just, and you've been around too long, you tilt, and you're not proud of it, but it's just what happens. And also has something to do with a stressful life and financial situations and all that, but whatever. At the third check, I'm down 3,090, which means I'm down about 8K because I lost about 5K on the casino floor. And I put on the 80. And what I had to fold, and I put, just as a note, Masato was running like a fucking god on this night. He was just luck boxing all over the place, sets, and just like, you know, he binked ace queen out of position against me. That could have been fucking tragic for him because I knew what he had and I had him dominated in position, and there's almost 2K in the middle to go the flop, and he's going to be inclined to think his hands, he's not going to know what I have, and it's just going to, it's just such a good situation. Well, he was running like, and I just wrote in my notes when I was watching back, if I run like that, I have run hot on the stream. I ran hot one time when I really wasn't comfortable and I won, I think about 20 or something. And then I've run well, but I'm saying if I run like firecracker hot, I'm going to win 50 one night. I'm calling that shit now because I play enough hands to where if I'm making these hands, it's going to be, this game plays pretty fucking big. And anyways, it's just what I wrote. Maybe it's just wishful thinking. At 310.47, Pooh Daddy opens the 200. I defend with Jack 4 offsuit. It's pretty loose call, but I'm a pretty loose player. It comes ace 8 4 with two hearts. I have a pair and a heart. Sure. Check call 300. And he just gives up. And my hand's good at showdown. The 4 is. And Pooh Daddy was very cool. I have some influence. I'm really taking the challenge with Raver Poker to make Max Payne Monday the best fucking poker show on the internet. And obviously our Friday show is the number one show right now, but we think we're going to surpass it. And last week we had over 100,000 views, and a lot of that had to do with Masato playing. But people who are good for the game, and like, it's good to have an element like Pooh Daddy, he's the chat pro, and he was very cool, and he was drinking. He's definitely a character that could make some more appearances. And, well, I was going to say he got the best of me, but that might not be true the whole way. But he was getting the best of me at this point, at this juncture. At 3:12:15, we're kind of shorthanded, and CoinFlex opens the button. And, you know, so we're shorthanded. He's been card dead. He opens the button, and I 3-bet with King-Queen offsuit. I'm in the blinds, and it's just pretty normal. I go to 420, and I already 3-bet him with 7 deuce, but I didn't show earlier, right when the show started, and he folded ace-jack suited. Anyways, I didn't know what he folded that time, and I just went to 420, and he's all in, and he's really short. He started the hand with about 40 big blinds, and so it's 1,210 for me to call to win 2,120. Right, so I'm getting a good price. King queen, he should be opening the button and expecting me to 3-bet pretty liberally, and he should be jamming. I should be doing fine against his range to make this call, even though he's a tight player. At some point, enough is enough. When you see me spewing, and you're like, what is he doing with jacks, tens, nines, eight, seven? Like, what's he doing with all those hands? What's he doing with ace 10? What's he doing with, you know, some like king jack suited, some hands that I'm crushing? I don't know. Raver says he knows this is a fold, but he's on tilt. Well, I was on tilt, but I didn't know it was a fold. If I know it's a fold, I'm folding. I don't know if it is a fold. Anyways, it came down king deuce 3, deuce 9, and I was trying to slow roll him, and he actually had pocket kings. So it was the second time where I ran top set or top pair into top set, and I was a little annoyed. That's annoying. And at 3:16:03, CoinFlex limps the hijack. I just doubled him up. You think you're going to limp the hijack on my button? You're insane. I go to 200 with Queen 10 offsuit. Hillary calls, Masato calls, and CoinFlex calls. And I'm a little bit tilted. And it's a good flop. It's Jack 3-4 rainbow. They check to me. Well, there are no two pair combinations. And I don't know, can they call any of their hands if I bet 800? I don't think so. I have queen 10, jack 3-4, I bet 800, it's about pot. And you can see Masato knows I'm bluffing, but he can't do anything about it. And he asked to see, and I just showed him because, I don't know, maybe I'll start making hands later, and he's the main attraction of the show. I'll show him, I don't care. I mean, it doesn't take long to know that I bluff more than anyone, and it's okay with me because If I have a hand, I'm going to go for it as well, and it's fine. 3:26:46, I put on the 160. So $10, $20, $20 Big Blind Annie, $40 Strato that we made part of the game. Chris on my right, who's awesome, who plays with Mariano all the time, puts the 80 I put on the 160, and Wino raises to 320. And we all call, and I have Queen 9 opposite. It comes Ace 10, 4, and she bets, and Pooh Daddy calls, and I fold. 327-10. I call King Jack offsuit multi-way with the 80 on. So now the game's getting pretty big. It's 10, 20, 40, 80 with an ante. And I have King Jack, and both my opponents have King 10. One of them is Chris. He has King 10 of hearts. He flops a flush. Good for him. I flop a jack. I lose a small bet. And he tries to slow roll me. And I'm a little tilted. Not that he's trying to slow roll me, but that I know he has me beat. Turn over your motherfucking hand. It's not going to work right here. And I'm just more tilted about losing. This guy was great. Chris was fucking phenomenal too. He also earned another trip, another appearance on stage. And he won't have to sit on my direct right next time. I believe in that. They don't want, unless he wants to. Okay. And so the 80's on, and at 329.07, Pooh Daddy opens a 300 in the cutoff. So when the 40 is on, he opens a 200. When the 80 is on, he's open to 300. I just went to 1,200 with King 7 offsuit, small blind. Sure. I'm on tilt. We're deep. I've added on, and you're light. And 1,200 worked last time. I did it again. But last time, I think I had Queen 6 diamonds. This time, I had King 7 offsuit. Take it. And I'm winning, you know. If it's 10, 20, 40, you're winning 90, and then the 80 is 170, and he puts out 300. I'm just winning $500 for fucking nothing, and that's how you pay for your spew until you finally cooler someone or just get them to implode against you. And let's see if I can do that. There's 2 hours left in the show, and I'm down $4,090. I haven't run well at all. I've been playing wide open, but that's how I fucking play. Okay, so it's 334-00 on the timer. It's a bomb pot, and I flop. Nothing right. That's right. Thank you, Kanye. Okay, and now Pooh Daddy just lost a big pot, and he limps under the gun. And I raise to 200 with ace 10 offsuit and the hijack, and Ronnie goes to 800 in the small blind. And I've just run into this. I have never had, in this situation, against Ronnie, if I had ace king, I would put in the small four bet. I didn't against Masato because I think he would just fold, and it turns out Ronnie had ace jack. I need to fucking hold over him at some point in just a couple hands. It's frustrating. So at 341.18, I three bet coin flex with Jack 9 suited. Jack 9 of hearts. So he opened, I 3-bet with Jack 9 of hearts. It's a hand even solid players play in 3-bet. So Pooh Daddy calls out of position. That's a small pocket pair alert for me. And Coinflex calls with whatever he opened with. Could be ace high. Who cares? I have Jack 9 of hearts. It's a good hand. I'm in position. And it comes Jack 3-3. Good. They checked to me. And I had 3-bet to 400. I bet 400. It's about a third of the pot. Pooh Daddy calls. And I'm really liking the situation, especially when Coinflex folds. Coinflex man. And the turn is an eight of hearts. And so, sure, Pooh Daddy could have turned a boat. But I turned a flush draw in addition to my top pair. And he checks. And I'm going to keep betting here because I know my image. And you gotta put money in when you have a good hand. This is an overplay for a tight player, but for a lag, it's mandatory. I bet 600 here into 2K. It's giving him a nice price, and he's going to call. He's going to bluff catch. And the river's a king, an offsuit king, and he checks. I bet 600 again. I'm trying to value town him, and I do. He calls with pocket sixes. So that's what you can do. That's spew equity. It comes back. When you know you have someone beat, you can just bet three streets with Jack 9 in a 3-bet pot on Jack 3-3, 8 king. And get called. And you can't get greedy, but you can. And you can bet. And at this point, my lucky charm had just shown up, and you can see me looking out to her a little bit. Okay. At 343.50, my man Chris opens under the gun. Chris, who plays with Mariano all the time at their secret casino in the desert somewhere, opens under the gun. I just call with ace jack of clubs because I feel like a dick for three betting every single time he opens. and that's real. And I told him I'm only going to do it once per drink. Like, because it gets annoying. You don't get to play any hands on stream if every time you open, you get three bet, you can't open bad hands. And so I just called with Ace Jack of Clubs, and that's real. And Ronnie calls, and Masato makes it 600, and Chris folds, and I call, and Ronnie calls. And so we got a bloater, and I have Ace Jack of Clubs. It comes King, Queen, four, and I have a gut shot to the nuts. We all check. And the turn's a four, and now there are two clubs out there, and Ronnie bets 1,400 into 2,000. And Ronnie is the hardest person to read in these games. He's just so hard to read. I'm really hoping he has a smaller flush draw than I do. And Masato calls, and he has the bluff catcher. And I call. I have a straight draw and a flush draw, and I bink. I think it was the three of clubs. And there's merit to leading out here. It's really hard to play a big draw that you're just priced in. You're just priced in. You have to call. You have the equity to call. But it's hard to get value on the river. And I checked, and they checked, and Ronnie had King 10. I turned over my hand. I found out later he had King 10. I was really hoping he had a smaller flush draw and that he hit that river, he would bet a lot, and then Masato would fold, and I would jam. But it was maybe a little too optimistic on a paired board, and whatever. At least I made a flush. Those are nice. And hopefully I'll make another one soon. At 347.37, Wino opened to 200, so maybe the 80 was on. Ronnie called, CoinFlex man called, Chris called, and I went to 1,000, which I did earlier with Ace 4 offsuit, but they didn't see it, and I won. She called me, and I bet 1,500 on 883, and she had nothing. She had 6-7 offsuit. I thought she might have a small pocket pair, and I was going to try and get her to fold it at some point, and it was moot. She just had. Anyways, she's been running bad on this night, and they all fold. And I showed her my cards, and they never registered on the thing. So if I'm showing her my cards, it's definitely not a bluff. I think I had pocket queens. I had something good. And I took a quick break, and I came back at 355.54, and I played the hand that was dealt to me. And Chris opened on my right, and I had a new drink, so I could 3-bet again. I threw out the pocket eights, and I just took it. And then you see me and Hillary doing the cake DeFi ad. I'm programmed because I commentate on Tuesdays and Wednesdays to do the ads for whoever the sponsor is, and it's Cake DeFi at this point. And I know that if you put 50 in, they give you 50 back. They add 50, and so I was just being an idiot at the table with Hillary, who's a good partner in crime, if the crime is being an idiot. 356.40, Pooh Daddy opens at 200. So we're just playing, well, not just playing, but we're playing 10, 20, 40 with $20 big blind. I just went to 400 here. I get fancy sometimes. I get King, Queen offsuit and just clear out all the riffraff. And he calls, and it comes King, 6-4. He checks. I check back. I didn't think he had, whereas the time before I thought he probably had a lot of pocket pairs that could pay me off when I had the Jack 9. I just think I flop huge here. I'm just way ahead. And, just hopefully he turns a pair. The turn's a seven. So King, 6-4-7. Now there's all kinds of gut shots and whatnot out there. I bet half and he folded. He had Queen Jack offsuit. So just a nothing burger hand. 358.21. So the show starts on a 30-minute delay or so. And so we're about 3.5 hours into the show. Chris opens. I'm not allowed to 3-bet because I haven't finished my drink. And I call with 7-6 of diamonds. And it's 4-way action. And I am in position with 7-6 of diamonds. Comes ace, 8-5, 2 clubs and a diamond. That's pretty looking. And Chris continuation bets. And this is an easy call. And Pooh Daddy calls as well. And the turn's an 8. And they check. I'm not falling for it. And the river's an 8. And Pooh Daddy bets. And we fold. And that's a lame run out. But here's an interesting hand. At 4 of 335, I put the 80 on, and I get ace, queen of hearts. Not bad. It folds around to Chris, who raises to 160. So he just went from 80 to 160. So I went to 240. Just having fun. This is, you don't play every hand like you're trying to play it perfectly. You do stuff that's fun. I put the 80 on, you make it 160, I make it 240. This is how you make it long term in bigger games, is You're not a fucking Tommy tryhard. You just have fun, and then when big decisions come, hopefully you make them well. And he called, and it came 866, and he bet 230. Okay. I call. And he says, what do you have? And I said, I have 3 5s. I don't know why I was telling him I had 3 5s. That's a dumb thing to say on 866. And I said, I have 3 5s. And he said, I think you do. And he bet 230, and I called. The turn's a 4. And I said, man, be careful. I have 5s full of 6s. Just being an idiot. But we're drinking a lot and having fun. And he bets 700. And I think he just has an 8 here. And I'm going to call and take it away on the river, hopefully. And it's an interesting card on the river. It's a 5 for 8, 6, 6, 4, 5. I have ace queen. Just fucking whiff city. And he bets 100. It's a little tiny blocker bet. Sometimes these are put out to induce a raise. This seems like just a traditional blocker bet, just to try and get really thin value or not, you know, not put too much in when you actually were beat. And I raised to 1500. And he tests me. I go through the live test of, you know, talking to him. And you can tell when people are bluffing. You couldn't tell. I passed it. And he folded. And then a 409 bomb pot, 9-5 offsuit. And my man Chris, so there's, you know, 900 in there, and they take maybe 240 out, 660, let's say. And Chris bets $20. I have 9-5 on jack 8-6. It's a gut shot. I call $20. Hillary raises, and Chris calls, and I fold. And Hillary had pocket fours. This woman has so much heart. She raises with fours on jack 8-6 and a 9-way fucking dark limper. Good for her. I'm calling coin flex, man. Corn pops now. So pretty quickly called them corn flakes. Now we're calling them corn pops. Just our side of the table is like the party side. Pooh Daddy stuck at the other side where it's quiet and people are grinding, and that's okay. 4-12-19. Chris opens a button. I call small blind with king 7 of clubs. Can't raise him because I haven't finished my drink. And I am holding a cocktail up. You can see. It comes 8-6-4. I just check call. I have a gut shot. Big card. Turns a queen. I check. He bets. I snap fold. I just, obviously, I don't think he's bluffing here. If I do, I'm not folding. And he had two pair. So the good thing about not being a Tommy tryhard is you can kind of get in the flow, is what some would call it, or the zone. And you just kind of know when they have it and they don't. And you just snap fold when they do. And you fucking raise when they don't. And what's going on? That's what's going on a little bit here. I'm up 41.70, and my VPIP is 55, and Pooh Daddy's in second place at 37, which is very respectable. I think next time I play, I'm going to try and be, you know, I like to play one out of three hands, but some nights it's going to call for me being over 50, and that's, you know, whatever. If it's a more wild lineup, I won't be over 50. But this was, you know, a lot of people buying in short and not really going for it. Some people were, but yeah. And sashimi and corn pop were under 20. At 4-14-0-0, Masato puts the 80 on. And Chris raises the 200 in the cutoff. And I have finished my drink. I'm on to another one. So I can raise my button with 8-7 of diamonds to 500. Masato goes to 1,800. Okay, it folds back to me, and I ask him if he wants to gamble, and I don't even know what he says, but I'm calling anyways. And I don't need to call against this sizing. Actually, it's a little, if he went bigger, I would be more inclined to call. But you feel like a chicken, because we're both deep, and I don't know, whatever. It's probably a fold. It's strong what he's doing here. And it's probably a fold with even with a suited connector, but it's okay, whatever. See a flop with about 4K in the middle. And it comes queen jack 4 with two spades and one diamond. And he bets 1400. And I know he doesn't like this flop. It's not like he flopped a set or something. He could have ace king here a lot. I'm going to continue and probably win on, if he has ace king, I'm going to win on a lot of turn cards. And I just can tell he doesn't have a set or anything that, you know, he doesn't have a set. So nothing to worry about a ton here. And of course, I 3-bet preflop and called the 4-bet. I could have a set. I could have a lot of things. The turn's a jack for queen, jack, 4, jack. And he really doesn't like this card. And it's a diamond. So now I have a flush draw. And he checks. And I'm going to bet here. And he will fold ace king all day long. So there's 6,700 in there, and I don't. once the pot gets big, it's not about percentage of pot anymore. It's just about amount. And I bet 2,400 and he calls. Okay. And so I'm going to bet a lot of river cards because this guy's a good player and solid. And I could easily have a jack here. And I'm going to bet, you know, something in the 4,000s on the river. But the river's a 10, and it just doesn't make any sense for me to bet at this point. Now, I wouldn't be really betting a jack here, I don't think. I just thought the river, the 10 was a card to give up on. And then I just gave up. And also, before I checked, he froze me out. He was bluff catching the turn, and then he shuffling chips for fucking ever on the river, and it works. It gets you, okay, I'm not bluffing, right? But what you should always do, if your opponent is bluff catching the turn and they take a long time to check the river, always bluff them, and I will next time because this won't be released by the time we play. If he does that again, it's just obvious, and other players do it as well. They're trying to get you to not bet, so bet, and whatever. It's not. I lost a big pot. I lost a lot there with 8-7 suited, and I'm stuck again. And that's the life of a lag. At 420, 0-0, the 80 is on. Pooh Daddy limps. I go to 300 with 8-7 offsuit. Wino calls, Sashimi calls, and Pooh Daddy calls. It comes 4-9-8. We all check. Turns of four clubs. Wino bets. Sashimi's all in. Fold. And she had it. Sashimi went all in with a straight flush draw. It was a pretty interesting play. 421.59. I open King Jack offsuit to 200. Wino calls on the button. And Ronnie, three bets. And Sashimi's all in. Obviously, I fold. And so Ronnie just has me. He had Ace Jack. He just always has me dominated. And I need for that to be reversed one time. And then it'll be fun. At 426.32, I put the 160 on. So 10, 20 with $20 big blind ante. 40, 80, 160. And Wino opens, Sashimi calls, and small blind. And so she's going to have a lot of small pocket pairs, and Wino's going to be wide here. And I have 90 hearts. Who gives a shit? Suited. And I call. There's 1360 in the middle. Comes King Deuce 4. Sashimi checks. I check. Wino checks. Okay, good. This is she does not have a king, I don't think. The turn's a 10. There are two spades. And I go ahead and pot it here when Sashimi checks because I know my image is the worst. And so on King Deuce 410, if I bet small, Sashimi could get sticky with a hand like pocket sevens, or if Wino has, you know, a hand with equity like Ace Jack, I'm just going to pot it here and take it. And I just felt like I could win. And Wino had a better hand than I did, but I won 1,000 in this hand. And so this is just, you're getting. This is the lag play, and yeah, 427.50. The 80's on. Pooh Daddy goes to 300. I just call with ace six of diamonds in position. It's just him and I. It comes queen eight deuce with one diamond. He checks. I'm gonna bet 300 here. That's what he raised to. I'll bet 300. He'll fold his air. I could pick up a diamond on the turn. I might have the best hand. Who knows? He calls. The turn is an X of diamonds. Okay, so. And I have enough flush draw, and he checks, and I'm going to be betting here a lot in general as a rule. But if I think he's weak, but I don't think he's weak, something, I'm going to bet, and something tells me this motherfucker is check-raising me. This motherfucking chat pro named Pooh Daddy is check-raising me right here. He has something strong. I better take my free card, and you can almost see it where I just stop to going to bet, and I check. And this is my edge in poker is just reading people, and it's what makes me being in a crowded room suck. I hate it because I just pick up on everyone's energy and whatnot. I just thought he was check raising me, so I took my free card, and it was a fucking diamond that did not pair the board, and he led 1,000 into 1,280, and he had 4,800 total. And this is pretty easy. Just check your cards, make sure you have a flush, make it look like you can use the blocker play, and I raise. Put them all in, and he snap called me, and I announced ace high, and he turned over his set of queens, and I said, oh, flush, and you know, that's what you do on Max Payne Monday, and he handled it well. He's awesome, fucking cooler, set against nut flush against the guy who's had 15 drinks and has bluffed, you know, just playing over half the hands and bluffing, it's just, it's a cooler. 431-20, the 80 is off. I defend the 40 with Kevin O, and that's king 7 off. And it comes queen 9-8. I check fold. I'm up 42-80 with an hour left, 57% VPIP. And keep in mind, I get up and go, because I drink a lot. I have to go take a piss a lot. So I'm missing hands. Those count against your VPIP. It's pretty strong, 57%. At 438, Chris opens in the cutoff, and I 3-bet with king 8 of clubs, and it comes king 7, deuce, diamond, diamond, club. He bets 40, I call, and the turn's a 7 for king 7, deuce, 7. I have king 8 of clubs, and he checks. Now I bet 40, and he raises the 80, call, and the river's a jack, and he bets 400, and he's passing the live test now. And also, I get distracted. I don't remember which woman it was going to the bathroom. One of them, Hillary, Wino Poker, or Sashimi, was going to the bathroom and said, cut my mic to magic. And that means turn off my mic while I go to the bathroom because I don't want the show hearing that, right? And I use this opportunity to say, no, leave it on for some viewers that really want to hear what's going on in there. And I just got a little bit weird, and that's just how I am, sober or not. And maybe it cost me a little concentration in his hand, and I folded, and he had a bluff, and who gives a shit? I'll always take a dumb joke over playing a hand well. Next hand, Cocoa Puff limps. And that's Coin Flex Man turned into Corn Flakes Man, turned into Corn Pops, turned into Cocoa Puffs. That's just what happens at a poker table. It's just goofy. It's bizarro land, as Garrett calls it. Chris goes to 200, and I call with 7-5 offsuit. Sure. And Hillary's in there, and Cocoa Puff's in there, and comes ace-jack 10. I fold. Okay, 446-32. I open 6-5 of clubs, plus 3. I just open to 3x, 120. Ronnie calls the button. Sashimi calls the big blind. Comes jack 8-3, 2 clubs. I just bet small with my flush draw, and they both fold. And then I got up to take a break, take a piss, whatever. But when I watched it back, I see that Masato lost a big pot to Ronnie. He got very confused by Ronnie's play. And that's something that's happened to me a bunch on stream. He's the most confusing player. And it was just nice to, it was like a moment of solidarity to see Masato pay him off. Like, what the fuck? I don't know what you have. And Masato didn't pay anyone else off. And it was just interesting. So they do another update. I'm up 37-40, and keep in mind, I'm playing 25% of my action is going to the chat pros, and I take 20K on stage, so they're up a little bit. And my VPIP is 56%. That's really strong in a nine-handed game, strong as in whale shit, and fuck, you know, that's what I want to be, a whale, I do. 451, bomb pot, flop nothing. 454-43, the 80 is on. Pooh Daddy calls. Chris goes to 420. So Pooh Daddy limps the 80. Chris goes to 420. I have pocket aces. I go to 1420, and they all fold. And no one had anything. Chris had, maybe he had like a suited connector or something, but it could have been one of those spots where you realize your spew equity. Like, what if someone has pocket jacks here? Like, you're getting fucking all their money, and it's whatever. 456-00. Ronnie limps the 80. Corn limps, and I go to 400 with king 10 offsuit, and Ronnie calls, Corn calls, Chris calls. So yeah, I just squeezed to 400 with king 10, came 5-4-3 with two spades, and Ronnie let out. We all folded. He had pocket fives, it turns out. Flopped a set. He might want that lead into the field bet back, but I don't know, there are a lot of bad turn cards. And 503-48, I put on the 200. So you can straddle to whatever you want, and I put on the 200. I'll do this a lot late night. You'll hear about that in a second, but it folds to Chris, and he goes to 400, and I just go to 900, and he calls, and I have ace, queen, offsuit. It comes 8-3 with two hearts, and he checks, and I bet 600, and I do remember feeling like I was in mad scientist mode, where there's nothing else You get so focused on the game, nothing else exists. You don't know you have kids. You don't know anything. You don't know where you are. All you know is the players and what's going on. And this happens sometimes. And a lot of times alcohol is involved and you just get mad. And so I went to 900 preflop, 600 on the flop, a third of the pot with ace queen. And I don't have any hearts. And it turns the ace of hearts. And now he leads 1400 into me. And I'm thinking, should I shove now? Should I deny equity? I said, no. If I call, I rep the big heart, and he will shove the river. It's just time. I've bluffed him too much. I've three-bet him too much. And I just decide, instead of denying equity, no, he's just punting here. Make it look like you're trying to hit a heart, and maybe he'll punt the river. And the river is a six for a board of eight, deuce, three, ace, three hearts, and then six, and he goes all in, and I call with ace queen, and he had queen 10, and I tried to slow roll him. That's a stupid spot to slow roll, but I stacked him a pair against queen high for a nice fucking pot, big pot. He had queen 10 on deuce 3 8, ace six. That was his all in, and I had ace queen, and that's that spew equity of people just lose their minds against you eventually. At 5:09, so about a little less than a half hour left in the show, Chris opens 20, and I say, I'll do whatever you want, call or fold. Like, I'm winning now, and I have king 3 of spades, and it says call. I call, and Wino goes to 600 on the button, and he calls, and I might have called dark the first time, and I called king 3 of spades. We're just, you know, gambling, and so it's three ways, 600 each. Comes queen 8 4, two spades. Not bad for king 3 of spades. He checks, I check. She bets 500. She made it 600 preflop. She's betting 500 into, about 2K. I don't think she'd do this with a real hand on queen 8 4, two spades. And he calls, and I don't think he has much. And so they both have about, whatever, 3K or something. And I just go all in. It's a pretty fun spot to go all in when you're winning a bunch. And, you know, you're not worried about the money and it's the right play. And she calls and he folds, and she had 7 6 of spades. So she's in a lot of trouble, and I hit a king on the turn. She's in more trouble. And she bricked out. I won. And 5:17, I'm buzzed. I was buzzed the whole time, but pretty buzzed. And my chips are a mess. I have pocket kings. Oh, shit. The 80's on. Sashimi goes to 250. Chris calls. I go to 1050 with my pocket kings. And I'm clearly buzzed, and they call. And there's 3260 in there, and it comes king 8 6, two spades. I flop a fucking set. Wow. And he checks. I'm going to check to her. I feel like she might punt. It's time, right? This is that shit where, you know, some nights it doesn't obviously ever come, but she bets 2,400. It seems like a real punt, and like she has nothing. And Chris calls. He's all in for his call. So I call, hoping she'll bink a pair on the turn, and the turn's a six. I check, and she checks back, and the river is whatever. It's a brick, and I have king's full. I just check to her, hoping that she'll, you know, do something. But I try and slow. I say I have 10 high here. I won't turn my hand over. Just this is the game. It's about, it's friendly game. Like, all these people have a good time, and it's the most friendly game. But you just do slow rolls. It's just kind of funny. Just be light. And I'm running hot obviously now. 5:23:20. It's a limper, and I have 9 7 of diamonds. I just check. It comes ace 8. With one diamond, I lead. Hillary calls. Ronnie goes to 300. I know it's not an ace. I go to 800. This works against 99.9% of the poker population. She folds and he calls. So he's going to raise call with an 8 with no flush draw out there. And I just give up. This would work again. I've never beat Ronnie in a hand. And can't. Never will. 5:27. Chris goes to 160. I give action with Jack 4 of spades. Sashimi goes to 800, and I fold. And that's the show. I played 55% of the hands dealt to me, and I won 22,180 on the show. But keep in mind, so now I'm going to give a quarter of that to Ryan when he comes down, and that's going to go to the Chat Pros, and I lost 5K before the thing, and then we're going to play After Hours, and it was decided that people didn't want any fresh players coming in, and that makes a lot of sense, but my boy Mark Goon's out there, and he, you know, I love Mark, so I say, someone who didn't want anyone to play left, and so I said, you can play if you want. And this is a mistake. It's 5 hours of putting on a show and drinking heavily. Like, there's a big difference when I'm just drinking, like, the Bellagio or whatever. I'm not, you're just, like, you want, like, a, you know, a drip, an IV drip of fucking Bud Light or something. This is different. You're putting on a show. You really shouldn't let anyone come in. But we let Mark in, and we're just playing shorthanded, and me, Mark, and Masato, and I am running good, and now I'm up a lot, maybe 30K. And then this other guy's playing, and it's just me, Masato, and him, and he's action guy. And it's like a switch has been flipped. We're playing 20-40, and I'm putting the 200 on. I want to win 100K on this night. I want to win all the chips. Masato was up a bunch, and he got Mark good, and this is, we play until 4 a.m. and a switch got flipped where I didn't win any hands. And I was really going for it. And this was the start of it. I 3-bet. It's just 20-40 this hand. And so Masato opened to maybe 120. And the other guy called. And I made it 600. And it came king, king, king. And I checked. And my range here should win this pot always. And like betting is weaker than checking, and king, king, king is just great. I check, and the turn's an eight, and the new guy leads 1,400 into 1,800, and I call. I'm floating. I think I had ace five. I'm floating, and the river's a deuce, and he checks, and I jam all in, and he calls with 10-8 offsuit. So he called the open and the 3-bet 10-8 offsuit. King, 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 we checked on the eight. He fired pot and then check called all in against 99.99% of the population. His hand is dead against me. It's good. And then I just ran death, just fucking death in all ways. And the game got really big. I had a hand where I finally had pocket tens. Masato had 10-9 suited. And we put a bunch in preflop and it came 9 high. And he bet what he thought was the best hand. And he had 10-9. And I had pocket tens. And he needed to hit a 9, and he did. And then he had a million over pairs against my top pairs. And I did, Sashimi played a little bit. I stacked her, but it was peanuts. And we're playing basically 100, 200 until 4 in the morning. And another hand, I had 9-7 of spades that I had 3-bet with. And it came jack 8-3 with the jack and 8 of spades. So I flop a straight flush draw, and the action guy leads out, and I just decided enough is enough, and I raised, you know, huge, and he called 4-3 offsuit and held, and so that's just, yeah, before what was going on. Anyways, I went on a huge downswing. I ended up losing all day. All told, I played 14 hours, and I lost about 14K all day, so just a really... And, you know, obviously I gave the chat almost 6K or whatever. And, you know, the patrons will hear what happened next in the next drop. But before, what was going on is I was losing on stream and then fucking murking people late night in shorthanded. And here was the opposite. And it's okay. You're not going to win every time. And against people who don't fold, if you just make the hand, best hand a reasonable amount of time, you're just going to win lots of money. And I'd rather be against people who do fold. I can just run them over, not with these two. And Masato ran hot, and he won a bunch. And, yeah, the Patrons will hear what happened in the next drop. But let's check the scoreboard, the countdown to 2023 scoreboard. And we're checking after week 20 of 50. So, fuck, we're already 40% of the way through our journey this year. If you didn't know, every year is 50 weeks. I tell my story on a 2-week delay, pretty much. And I play 3 sessions a week this year. And I have different targets. And if the points add up to 2023 or more when it's done at the end of the year, then we'll have sessions season 6. And if it doesn't, the shit's over. And so the first one is hours. And I decided I want to play 750 hours this year. I wanted to play 15 a week, which is a lot for me with all my jobs. Like I said, I've been a poker pro forever. And now I'm a podcaster. I'm a commentator. I'm a host. I have a startup. I'm a single dad. You know, I thought it was ambitious. 15. Well, I got 22 hours this week and I've been ahead of pace. The pace right now is 300 and we're at 329. So 29 ahead of pace to get to 750 hours. And there's just four categories and you get points in each one and add them up. And if it gets to 2023, we've got another season. Wins, for every win, I get 5 points. And for every loss, I get -5. And I lost all 3 sessions this week. I've been on a little heater and I just fucking got whacked. 3 sessions in a row I lost. Not a ton the first two, but this was a brutal one, especially because I had people messaging me all night about how much of a sun runner I was. And I really did not run hot when it really counted late night. I ran the opposite, and that's okay because before I was getting sympathy texts where I lost 15, 20 K on stream and then I just won like 30 or 40 after, and it's whatever, but minus 15 points on this line. So we're exactly at pace, 100 points, 40 wins and 20 losses on the year. So I want to win 2 out of 3 sessions. If I didn't have all these other things going on, and I could try and win 3 out of 4, but I think winning 2 out of 3 is pretty good for, you know, showing up like worn out and drinking and fucking around the whole time. Patrons, every new patron, 4 points. Every patron I lose, -4. Gentle Thrills and James signed up, 8 points. Someone deleted and put Reason Other. So sometimes people just don't like something I say and they cancel. It's fine. Preston signed up, 4 points. Someone who was at $10 a month deleted and they said financial changed. Okay. And then Carlos, Trevor, Sean, Tilted Primate, and Brian signed up. Fuck yeah. 5 new patrons, 20 points. Someone that was at 3042 went to 1688. This is what I want. I want people going to the tiers that make sense for them. 422, you get all the content and you get the forum. It's basically 2+2 without those dirty fucking nits. It's the same. It's like built on the same thing as 2+2 is. And then there's different tiers with different perks. And so go to the perk you want. A lot of people were very moved by this story, especially when I was struggling really hard. I still struggle. I mean, I still work every single day and night, pretty much, almost. And I still am in debt and all that. But I have too many incomes for people to be extending themselves. So go to the tier that makes sense. And someone did that, and that's good. And then someone came in at 27 a month because that tier makes sense to them. It's the where you can bet sports and it's neutral EV and no VIG, and that's a new patron, 4 points. And then Farts McCool came in, and I recognize that name, I think, from the chat. Thank you, Farts McCool, 4 points. And then Brandon gave me a raise to 27. Thank you. And then Johnny Donuts, not Jimmy Donuts, but Johnny Donuts said, you know what, fuck you, in going to your tiers. He was already at 1688 and he went to 20 bucks. Said, no, I'm going to give you a little raise because I want to. And that's obviously everyone's prerogative. We netted 7 new patrons, 28 points. So at this juncture, 604 points on this line, patrons, and the pace is 240. So 364 points ahead of pace. The goal is to get to 600. We're at 604 now. We could lose patrons, but it looks like we're going to beat this goal. And we need to beat it by a lot because the next line is sucking. Poker Rags. That's my startup. And then I have my own page on Poker Rags. And so does Marley and Raising the Nuts, Check Raise Charles, and 08 Grinder, and so on. So I have to sell stuff from my page, and I haven't been doing that this year. I haven't done a good job with designs. My motherfucking guy that's supposed to send me the nothing design hasn't done it, and, you know, that's Edonk, so whatever. 0 points. No one bought shit for my thing. We have 45 points in the year. Pace is 169. We're 124 behind that. We were just trying to get to 423 points. I'm going to have to turn up the heat on this poker rag stuff in the second half of the year. Anyways, the line that really matters for you listeners and for me, because I do love this podcast, it's very consuming. It's almost midnight on Sunday and I got to go to bed so I can get up and I'm not getting any downtime, and it's not great for me, but it's good for me in other ways where I learn about myself and I get to provide entertainment for people and do other stuff. And anyways, we're trying to get to 2023 points and we got 35 points this week. That's the first week where we actually scored less than what we need per week to achieve our goal. So, but anyways, we have 1,078 points on the year. The pace overall is 809. We've had a lot of good weeks. So we're 269 points ahead of pace to 2023. Looking good, but it's not a lock. But what in life is a lock? Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF Poker Player and sign up to become a patron today.